Well, they were half gone when they came to me.
Where's the pen?
You look things up?
We do. Here, I'm gonna stick these in your purse.
Well, this day we will just have to be out here.
And I forgot my Bible sweat. Walked out the door, God. It's in Arkansas. Oh.
Dog, Holly, and his girl, Mal, his son, all went to Arkansas. Thursday night, they live on a lake, live on Bull Shoals Lake.
Oh, I bet they do.
This time of year in the fall is the only time to be down there.
Why's that?
I couldn't stand to be down in that area in the summertime.
Why, is it too hot?
Oh, yeah.
In Arkansas?
Oh, yeah. Especially Bull Shoals down there.
I didn't think it was that.
They're not in very far. They're just over in Arkansas, not very far.
Yeah.
The huge lake.
Well, I guess it is down south. I guess it would be considered.
They're only 9 hours from here.
I've been to Florida in July, and that's miserable.
Oh,
but I've been through northern Georgia, Tennessee, and Kentucky in July, and that's even a lot of times it's dead air. There's no breezes.
Oh.
I'm busy. I'm here.
You get yourself all situated.
He's fighting with the board.
What for an hour now?
You guys hear me back there? The leg went into a trash can.
What drop would it sound like?
Yeah, that's all Dewey stuff. Rock's getting ready for this concert thing he's got rolling. I'm like, eight.
He and the girls were in here practicing. Joe and I stopped to change the sign.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the windows covered. It was pitch black in here.
Oh, I wonder if he was doing
a light show.
His, in here.
Yeah, he had all the stuff set up in front.
Right on.
I thought we should have music this morning, like a coffee shop. He said, does this remind you of a coffee shop? I said, sure. Bring music home.
Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, sure. And I'm at half power. So we'll just get the full power. Oh, man, don't ask me right now. I'm like, woo! That'll let you change. Did you hear the gears go?
And the look on his face was like, what?
It was like, barrel. And it was like, I can't think about that right now. Okay, we got to get moving here a little bit in this class. And there we go. I'm going to get an extension cord here.
What does that mean?
Oh, nothing. Brock probably forgot that I had a class, and
threw all of his equipment on that table.
He had still a focus. Back.
Is that where you were at?
One time I got into
an
argument.
I don't remember where we were. Actually, we didn't really talk too much about it. We were talking about
with
other
Brock?
Things.
Yeah.
No. One time I got into an argument with the senior pastor at the church where I was at, because I had the... God, I can't remember how it went. But he was in a position where he needed it for marriage counseling. And he came down with the people.
From the bike.
I think I gave it to him. But afterwards, man, he was like, you know how bad you embarrassed me. He was here, I had these and I go, you didn't sign up for the TV. He goes, I didn't think I needed to. Mike.
He embarrassed himself.
Well, it was just, somehow, I could have worked it out. I did not need, it was one of those moments where I was like, the principle of the thing is wrong. You sign up for it, or you don't get it.
Uh-huh.
And, shoot. And, mama. He was really ticked. Anyway, I came down and apologized.
Now, where'd that come from? What made you think of that?
What?
Wait.
Because Brock knows I have a class.
Oh, okay.
And he gets so focused that he forgets about the hole. See, at that point, I'd forgotten about the hole. The hole was, I could have easily done that some other time. He had 45 minutes with these people.
Don't let pride get in your way.
Exactly, and that's what I said when I said, oh, young eagles, because I my opportunity at that point was to be really ticked and say, dude, what are you doing? This is my class. I got to have this class on Sunday.
Look how you've grown. That is fantastic.
Woo! But then when you turn around and disregard rules,
that's not always good either.
It becomes easier to disregard them in the future, and then you have
tape. Well, there's a point where, obviously, Michael, you don't want to do that, but there's also a point where the Bible says, if at all possible, be at peace with all men.
Pick your battles.
Pick your battles. And that poor guy, he is stressed out.
I always learn with my children, pick your battles, because sometimes it's just not worth it.
Yeah. So I
you never
put on a smiley face. That's what I do.
Shh, we have another class next door. Be quiet.
I know.
it's always kind of interesting to watch people try to put stuff together they've never been involved with. They've got no clue.
Yeah, he's got clues. It's just that he hasn't done it all the time.
Well, everybody, I mean, there's a lot of different types of situations. People see something being done and say, hey, I can do that. They get into it and they find out there's a lot more behind the scenes than what they were aware of.
Right, and that's where we come in, where we help them.
It wasn't real willing. Anybody got willing?
Yeah, I wasn't really willing either. Two types of covenants, guys. This is where we're at. In Faith 101, we're trying to go through the Bible. Now, what have we done so far for Faith 601? We're trying to shrink the Bible so it's not so huge and intimidating, okay? Mm-hmm. And so we went from, we explained to everybody that from Genesis to what is it?
Nehemiah.
All the books of the rest of the Old Testament fit somewhere date-wise in between those. So from the next book past Nehemiah is it Esther?
Mm-hmm.
So from Esther to Malachi, so we're shrinking the Old Testament. From Esther to Malachi, Malachi fits about right here. It's like right here. There's a ton of those prophet books that fit right in this time period. This is about 1000 AD to about 450 AD. So that helps you. So the whole history of Israel, from Genesis to the end of the book of the Old Testament, fits between Genesis and Nehemiah. The whole history of Israel is between these books. We start with Adam and Eve. We end with captivity. Somewhere in here was Abraham, face. About the time of Nehemiah, before Nehemiah, is the Babylonian captivity. And for 400 years after this,
God was silent.
He was silent. So that had to be quite a scary thing now, but it's not as scary as today. Because God has been silent with his people, the Jews, for 1976 years. God is silent for that long. Something's wrong. Okay, they were in captivity. God was silent. Something's wrong. God has been silent with the Jews. So, something's wrong. But instead of going, what's wrong? Because of the hardness that God has put upon them, the dullness, like it says in Romans 11, they can't see. And I'm in the future, they will. Okay. All right, now we're going to shrink it even more. Okay, we got that whole, it took us like 3 weeks to do that. We're going to shrink it into 8 covenants. Okay? The whole Bible, we're going to shrink into 8 covenants that God has made with humanity. that is going to help us get a whole giant broad overview of the Bible to help us put stuff together. How many covenants?
Eight.
Okay. In those eight covenants that God has made with humanity, there are two types. There are only two types of covenants. There is the... Now, when we look at this, what does conditional mean?
There's conditions involved.
Mm-hmm. With what parties?
Them.
Both parties.
Both parties?
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, this is a bilateral.
If you do this, I will do this.
Yep.
Well, why would God do that, though? I mean, he doesn't have to make...
Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't. He really doesn't. Why does he do it?
Because he just does.
Different times and different periods, okay? Out of these eight covenants, there are only two that are conditional. And one is the very first one. It's called the we'll call it the Eden Covenant. The Eden Covenant.
Wasn't that also known as the Edenic Covenant?
This is really called the Edenic. This is called the Edenic Covenant. And then the one we're not going to get to today is the Adamic. That's the next one. So the two conditional covenants out of all these eight that span all these thousands and thousands of years, Genesis to Revelation, there are only two that are conditional. And the other one is the
Mosaic
Covenant.
AI.
AI?
Yeah, AI. You go, Mosaic.
Mosaic.
There you go.
And that C is actually a C. So we got the Edenic Covenant and the Mosaic Covenant. Those are the only two that are conditional. Yeah, I have the same problem up here, Teresa. Okay. Out of those eight covenants, that means six of them, right? The unconditional covenants are...
Do this or else. No.
Yeah. Unconditional, so those are the two conditional. Now this all will make sense. That's actually the next one.
But it was the Eden Covenant, and then after that was the Adam one?
Yes. Abraham. These next one, I've never taught this to you guys before. Let's see if it's better. Dry erase. Oh, I hate dry erase markers. Oh, yeah. Here's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Smells good?
Yeah. Okay, this next one is very simply called... This is a palace. We heard that before. Do you ever hear that in the news today?
Yes.
And then the Davidic Covenant. See how we're moving through? And then the new. We're moving through the scriptures. Genesis. Oh, now we're getting to... We're out of Genesis. And we're probably to Psalms, Proverbs, that age. There's the Davidic Covenant, a covenant that God made with David. And then the one we are under, which is what?
New.
Now, if you look at here, guys, it's to mankind in general. Okay? These three were made to who?
Israel.
Now this one too, but it also applies to all people. Through Israel, the new covenant, we are blessed. Romans chapter 11 talks about this. It talks about an olive tree, okay? We're not the natural branches of that olive. Literally a wild branch that God has grafted in to the tree. The Israelite nation has been cut off. Not the remnant, but the nation as a whole. But they can be grafted back in. Same way with us Gentiles as a whole, don't get cocky. Because God could shut the Gentile thing off too if he wanted to. And as a matter of fact, there is a point in time in history where the whole number of the Gentiles has come in. And then it's done. And then God is reaching his people Israel. But this covenant, but this extends to in the Abrahamic covenant, that extends to all people, right? Okay? So there's some sway back and forth. But this covers, guys, the whole Bible.
Where does the Mosaic one?
Mosaic one fits in right here. But it's a kind of the Eden covenant, and that's here, and that's a conditional one. Now I can put them all down for you. I was just doing the unconditionals. So the Eden one really fits here, and the eight covenants. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This ranges anywhere from 6 to 8,000 years. Shrinking? The Bible's shrinking. That's what I want you to do. You need to shrink it so it becomes graspable. Now, the reason why I do this, guys, the reason why I shrink it is because when I went to Moody, I didn't understand all of this. Bible was a huge, wide-open book. And when I would take tests, I could not put it all together. I didn't understand how everything fits. I didn't understand how the whole real story from Genesis to Revelation. I was saying, Dr. Mayer, it's not like I don't study. I study my butt off. And he says, I believe that, Mike. He said, what I think it is with you is a lot of these kids were coming in from Christian families where they have studied the Bible, and they've been in classes, they've been in Sunday school, they've been in all this. I did not come from a Christian family. I came from a neo-pagan family. All right? And I didn't have all of this stuff from when I was a kid to be able to fit everything together. And so when I got to Moody, it was like, I didn't even know there was a book of Romans. You know? I mean, it was a crash course. If I were to go back today, with the way I understand stuff, I would be able to do less studying, and I would get way better grades. I'd try to get straight A's. And the reason why I say that is because I had to put it together and to shrink it. And so this is what it is. Okay, today we're going to be working on this covenant, the very first one. And what is it, unconditional or conditional?
Unconditional. Oh, conditional, sorry.
Yep. This one's conditional. Okay, here we go. The first scripture in this is, let's go to chapter 1. The very first chapter of the Bible, verses 28 through 31. And Therese, when you get there, you can read it.
God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed on it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so.
Great. Then God saw that everything he made was what?
Good.
Good. Okay. Mike, can you read Genesis 2? Now we're in chapter 2, Genesis 15 through 17.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you...
Okay. All right, let's look at the participants. The participants of the covenant. Okay, who are the participants?
Adam and Eve.
Not Eve.
Oh, Adam and God.
They hadn't made her yet.
Yeah. It was funny. God never told Eve anything.
And she said, I'm not listening to him.
See, the problem with that is that's a problem. Okay. Okay, so Adam, in this situation, guys, he represents who?
Us.
Yeah, he represents the whole human race from the very get-go. Now, what's interesting about this is there are seven provisions in this covenant. Okay, there's seven things that God said, this is what it is, here's what I provided, this is what I want you to do. And there's only one negative in it. A very easy covenant for somebody who's perfect. How easy can this be? Okay, you got this guy, he doesn't have a sin nature. There's no sin nature yet, it's not there. Anything that he does is good. He's the creation, so he's part of the good that God made. There's nothing about this guy, and he's got one command that God says, don't do. Just one.
And what if God never would have made woman, everything would have been fine?
Who knows? But we're going to see here what happens.
Always come back to us. Always come back to us.
There are seven provisions, guys, and here they are. These are the seven. Number one is, what do you think? What's the very first one? Be
fruitful.
Yes. Be fruitful and multiply. And it's fruitful here. This means in everything you do, succeed. In everything you do, let it be well pleasing. I mean, increase. Broaden your horizon. That's what that word fruitful means. Multiply obviously means babies. Okay? That was the reason why the earth was created. Okay? It was created for man. Filled it with humanity. Second, what do you think the next one is?
And rule with fish.
Subdue it.
Subdue it.
What do you, when you subdue something, what does that mean?
Stop it.
What?
You stop it.
Yeah, you control it.
Yeah.
It's under your commission. If somebody told you at your job, Therese, that you were to subdue your job, that would pretty much mean you're in charge. Yeah. Okay. So he's to subdue it. Now, here is where it gets tricky. If we look at Ezekiel 28, I want you to go to this chapter. Ezekiel 28, learn something. 11 through 19. Whoever wants to read, the Lord says, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper. Settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were
holy mount of God, walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Throughout your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom. Corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I fired to come out from you, and it consumed you, and I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. And all the nations who knew you were appalled at you, and you have come to a terrible end and will be no more.
Okay.
Isn't that Satan?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Satan, all right. Not the king of Tyre anymore. That's something to do with it. When you would look at prophecy, sometimes prophecy will be talking about something and it abruptly changes and it starts talking about something else. In other words, what God was saying to the king of Tyre is he's saying, you're in the same league as Satan is. But I'm going to give you a definition of what happened with Satan. This is who you are, this one. Well, we learned a couple things about the devil. He was in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Before he was corrupt. Walked amongst the stones of God. He was the guardian cherub. This we don't need to settle. But somewhere between the earth was void and darkness and the garden, somewhere in there, horrible things happened. We don't know, we're not sure exactly what they are. But Satan obviously was a created being, okay? He was created perfect. In fact, it describes what he looked like. He had all these stones, he was beautiful. And through trading, now that trading there means literally through corrupting others, through his corruption of others, and when sin was found in him. And he literally, guys, he walked on the stones of the holy God. He walked amidst the fiery stones, and he was the guardian cherub that guarded the holiness of God. And when God said that he threw him out, literally, that access, he never could guard the holiness of God anymore. Now he was regulated to having some sort of access where he could accuse us day and night.
And that's what started the war between the two.
That's what started it. Now, I'm not sure what kind of test God gave Satan. Maybe it was, I'm going to create you wonderful and beautiful, and when pride comes, because you are so beautiful, you must resist it. Pride was found in him. Now we have this war.
His ego took over.
Yeah, and you see it. You see it in every evil thing. Every evil person that you know, what is it that gets in their way almost all the time? Pride has caused more wars. Pride has caused, you just name the violence. You name the problem, and I will find a root of pride there somewhere. Somewhere, somehow, down to pride. That's the original. By the time Adam gets to Eden, Satan is now corrupt.
Okay. So Satan was first.
Well,
in the Garden of Eden.
One author. This is one author's view. Here's the author's view. Previously, authority over the earth had been given to Satan. But when Satan fell, he lost his authority over the earth. That is the reason Genesis 1:2 describes the earth as being covered by water and darkness, being over the face of the deep. Hence, God began to form and fashion the earth anew to make it habitable for man, and this time, he would give man the authority over the earth. Where Eden fits in, I'm not entirely sure, but I think there's good enough proof that at one time, the devil was given the authority over this planet. But then when he fell, everything went into darkness. I know, we just don't, we've never heard that, have we? We've just never heard that before.
Wild. It's weird and wild. By the time, and Eden is a funny thing too, guys, because the rest of the earth remained, but where did Eden go?
question. Atlantis went under the water, Crete.
Well, they think.
Explosion. Where did the garden go? Now, see, everything of the whole earth is still there. But the garden is not here. And so it's kind of interesting, like, this Garden of Eden was maybe something that...
I think it disappeared after the flood.
Possibly. But why didn't
because
the rest of the stuff?
Well, the atmosphere changed after the flood.
Okay, but the rest of the land mass was it wasn't like the garden.
You still got the land mass, but what I'm saying is after the flood,
right,
your atmosphere changed, so now the state of the earth differently.
Okay, I understand.
In Africa today, you have the Sahara ever slowly moving south. That's in the equatorial areas,
there, right,
and stuff. So.
Okay, the
Eden could just have vanished in that
regard. Right, but the garden, if you look at it like this, let's do this really quick, guys. Here's the whole earth, okay? All of the earth was covered in this canopy, okay? This whole earth wasn't the garden. There was only one area where this garden was. So my question is, the earth didn't pass away, the earth had the canopy, the garden passed away, the garden had the canopy. It wasn't like there was a special canopy over the garden, too.
No.
It wasn't a special place. So my thing is, why did this disappear and the rest of this didn't?
Are you talking about at the very, very beginning when Satan was on here?
No, I'm talking about after Adam sinned. Adam sinned. This garden, there was an angel, and like Mike said,
a cherub.
A cherub that protected the way back in. But in this garden was still two trees. And how long this lasted, we don't know. Mike said possibly it destroyed the flood. I'll go with that. That's probably what happened. But
yeah, but why would it take the trees, too?
Exactly. And why would they reappear in Revelation?
Yeah.
God can do whatever he wants.
That's right. As always say.
Yeah.
He just
but
took it.
But it's interesting because you see a new Jerusalem literally come down to earth.
Yes.
That's where the new trees come.
You putting it together? See, there's some cool things that are coming. This tree appears again. The other tree doesn't. The tree of life appears again. And literally this tree, it leaves. And see, this is the physical spiritual connection that we miss. We think everything's spiritual. No, it's not. God has made everything physical too. Everything's physical and spiritual. Literally the leaves of this tree are for the healings of the nations. Whether you pass out the leaves, then you eat them, and it heals people, I don't know. But that's what it says. And it's a food. Wild and crazy cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Maybe the natives of South America are onto something.
Yeah, maybe.
They're always chewing leaves.
I know, chewing leaves. They're doing something, man. Okay, we got to hurry because this is why they need the book. Be fruitful, multiply. We got an issue here with the devil. Number three is what Dorothy said. Dominion.
All your stuff out of here.
Yeah.
So he's given dominion. So we got one, two, three of those.
They're not perfect.
And we need four more.
Okay. Thank
of
you,
this
sorry.
First covenant. Everybody good?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we're done.
Amen.
All right. I just got a mark I left off. Otherwise, I'll be like, that. What's up, David Dinosaur?
Hi.
Hi. Hey, Mike, can you help me get this picture? Somebody help me.
Yeah.
The last time I tried this, I was like, boom, boom, and one of the legs went in the trash can. Oh, I got a trash can on them. Isn't that so cool? Oh, that's so cool.